On the other thing, too, it's also at the same time, you know, we had you mentioned UFC coming to Cleveland, Stipe's dominant fashion this past weekend. Cody Garbrandt, another
yes.
Okay, I've known Cody Garbrandt since he was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I met him at a at an after party at one of the Fight Night in the Flats events. I remember just I gave that young lad his first sip of some fantastic Jameson.
Okay.
And I'm like, here you go. I'm like, thinking nothing of it. His uncle Bob, mm-hmm. who is also in the corner of Adam Milstead, who is also another local guy that we've known,
yeah.
who was dominant fashion, won this past weekend on UFC. He's like, Diggs, he's 17. I'm like, give me that back. You get me arrested. And it's just, it's like, I've known him since he was a senior in high school,
uh-huh.
17 years old, and he'd come out to the fights and everything. And I announced Cody's first ever, as I did Stipe's, I announced mm-hmm. his first ever fight, and he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out there, and it's just interesting to see.
He hasn't lost too many since.
He hasn't lost many since then. And it's like, you know, it was actually on my birthday.
Okay.
I remember that War on the Shore is where he fought at. And seeing where he has come to, and he was actually recently at, I filled in for George Phillips at a show, Cage Madness show a couple months ago, and Cody's cousin was fighting on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out, you know, he was in town, he came to show support, and he had fought so many times down there with those guys that he became like, you know, superstar celebrity, and he was. I mean, he was then a superstar celebrity now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy he beat was 21-0. Everyone was pegging him as like that. Cody was supposed to be the stepping stone.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret, okay?
Okay.
UFC future books, because mm-hmm. when we were doing for NAFS, we future booked. You book this guy against this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy beats this guy. You get this guy to come in. Matchup-wise, this is a good matchup for this guy. This guy beats this guy.
Right.
And he goes on. He's going to fight the next guy. I don't know this for sure. This is allegedly. I can't confirm this. I'm not behind the scenes. I'm not in the phone calls with Dana White or anything like that. But just my experience in this business, you've got Dominic Cruz against Uriah Faber. Thomas Almeida was 21-0 coming into the fight with Cody at 9-0. Okay. Uriah Faber being the coach of Cody Garbrandt now. Let's say they go into this. I believe the game plan was for them, like, expecting that, you know, because I don't know how many fights Uriah Faber has left in his career. He's been mm-hmm. doing this for a very long time. But I have a feeling, you know, they're banking on Cruz retaining his title,
mm-hmm.
and then he was going to go on to face Almeida.
Right.
Well, that changed everything when, you know, Almeida got dropped by, and he didn't just get dropped. He got his butt whooped. He got
yeah.
his ass whooped, and it was actually more impressive than what Stipe did. Stipe caught him in the hand. I mean, Cody Garbrandt just came up. Boom, boom,
oh,
boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom, boom,
there was a lot of action in that
yeah,
fight.
It was just like, wow. And, you know, that's somebody else that he's already said had a meeting with about, you know, being on UFC 203, and
mm-hmm.
you'd be asinine not to put him on UFC 203 on that
mm-hmm.
fight card. Now, my thing is, okay, if Dominic Cruz wins, there's talk. Cody's already called out. He called out Brian Caraway
mm-hmm.
as in a number one contenders fight, which I'm okay with that. I'm mm-hmm. also okay with him getting the title shot in Cleveland, which would be insane if that were to happen, but it would
that
also
quickly,
be very
but yeah.
that quickly. The contenders fight against Caraway is probably something to be more likely. I mean, again, they would have to be fools not to put him on this card, being
mm-hmm.
a local guy
right.
on there. So it's just cool to see those guys, you know, doing good things. Adam Milstead, he coming off a big win. He's from Pittsburgh. He's another local guy that ever. And there's, like, honest to God truth, I could book that entire card probably with people that I know just from around here. I just have to bring it. I could fill one side of the card. Make it Ohio versus the world.
Uh-huh.
Make it, like, I guess, because I don't know if Milstead's from Pittsburgh, but we'll claim him for the sake of this. I mean, I could – the guys I would – you know, there's names you can put on there with – you know, obviously Stipe, Cody Garbrandt, Adam Milstead on the undercard,
mm-hmm.
the immortal Matt Brown, who's fighting on somewhere again.
Yeah.
That guy, I love Matt Brown. The Matt Brown that they see on TV
uh-huh.
and the Matt Brown in person. See, Matt Brown, like, again, there's somebody else's first fight. He was the very first fight of the very first ever Fight Night in the Flats was Matt Brown. Little fun fact, way back in the day, the very first show, MMA show I was ever at, you might have been at that one, I don't remember.
I was at one of them. I was, I think I was at the 08 one, actually,
okay.
though, so that was...
That would have been the 05 one.
Okay.
That was
okay.
the 05 one, way back in the day.
The 08 one, I remember having a great time standing up, pointing down at our good friend, fellow FDH Lounge dignitary, Mike Petak at the table, and yelling, You tapped out. You tapped out.
Oh, yes, because it was Jessica I, believe, who tapped him out there.
Who's about 3 feet less in height than Mike Ptak, which just makes it even better.
Mike Ptak was also sitting down, and she walked up behind him. It wasn't like, it was like, you know, there was a, they squared up, and she just walked up behind him. I don't remember how it came
the
about.
The story I ever told, and I've heard, I wish I'd been there, but I've always heard that he was, like, flopping like a fish.
Yeah, he was. It was pretty it was so hilarious. And there's somebody else, you know, Jess, man, coming off of a, I just don't know where her head's at. And it was weird, like, looking, like, following her on, like, social. And, like, I had texted her a couple. I texted her, actually, after Stipe's fight, and we talked a little bit. We sent each other texts back and forth, you know. And I sent her words of encouragement and everything. I'm just, like, you know, going into that fight, it's a weird gift that I have just from knowing these guys. I've always said, like, I really should go back to school and get a degree in sports psychology because I can oftentimes tell by looking. Like, I knew Verdum. When Verdum had that stupid-ass smile on his face, mm-hmm. I knew he was going to get his ass knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Verdum knew it, too. It's weird. I think Verdum knew he was going into a city, maybe subconsciously, but like even like the look on Jessica's face when she walked into her fight against Sarah McMahon, it was just looked like, you know, something was on her mind, and I don't know what it was. And I haven't talked to her about it or anything, because one of those, like, I always feel awkward when friends of mine lose fights, because it's always weird. Like, what do I say? Like, hey,
yeah.
How are you? What's going on? But it just seemed like something was on her, and she posted something on social media. You know, I got to figure out what's going on with my head or something like that. Like, I got to figure out what's like. I would love to see, basically. I mean, because she's lost three in a row.
Well, you,
if we're going to be objective here, you know.
You brought this up, and I didn't know if we were going to go there or not, but that's a thing. And I'm going to preface by saying, again, I am more the casual fan, so what the hell do I know? But watching her there, I don't think I've seen anything in between, but I did see, this was a great thing. It was on your birthday last summer, national TV, United Center. She was the co-headliner against, who was it, Misha Tate?
The champ.
Yeah. Yeah, the present champ. Watching her there then, like I said, I don't think I've watched anything in between. Watching her in this fight, she's not getting better, is my rough sense of
this. It just seemed like, you know. And
she's not moving in the positive direction.
It's just something needs to be done. And
she's a really good striker, but it's like, I know.
It seems like, and she said this herself, it seems like she's holding something back. But okay, MMA is 90% mental.
Okay.
And if there's something in your head, that's something that's there, and you know what? It's like, you know, nothing but love to her. I hope to God that she gets, you know,
right.
I hope she gets one more opportunity.
Oh, I say this because I felt bad like you. I don't like to ever see your friends take it on the chin.
I hope she gets, like, one more opportunity to compete at UFC 203, but also at the same time, you got to know, it's like you're coming in with three straight losses. It is what it is.
Well, there's,
you know what I mean? Unless you're Matt Brown, who apparently Matt Brown's the most amazing person ever. He loses three in a row, he wins three in a row. He loses three in a row, he wins three in
a row.
Well,
and it's
so maybe she can haul off a three in a row winning streak.
It's four losses total, which all the smartasses on social media were quick to point out. She's the first woman ever to notch that in UFC. So there's speculation about, does the contract endure? I mean, I truly hope, as is the case with any of your friends, I hope that continues to be the case. And there's not been anything from UFC to indicate that.
No,
these are just
not
random a-holes on Twitter saying this. So I don't
want
to attach
any. I don't
go
on Twitter. You know why I don't go on Twitter?
Why?
Because it's nothing but random a-holes.
Well, and that's
you literally have to siphon through, like, I don't really...
I said to you on Facebook that night of, like, if you can, try to make sure she doesn't go on Twitter. Because it was brutal, dude. I'm on there. I'm retweeting the positivity that I'm seeing of, like, hey, keep going, Jess, whatever. I'm like, when I find it, I'm retweeting it. But I was going through a lot of manure to find that pony underneath, Jake.
Because that's just how people are. The world's full of haters. I mean, it is what it is. I've been accused in the past of visiting hater camp, and I've never visited hater camp in my life.
I never have.
I've had people in my life that I've had, let's just say, disagreements with.
Yeah.
And I found every one of my disagreements I had with said people were justifiably in what I felt in that situation.
Yep.
But I never once, no matter what in my life ever, even if I've never wished ill will. Like, I never once, like, had, like, any plans of, like, you know, oh, I don't want you to succeed, because that's just hating. And I've never been a hater. I've never, like, openly, like, and I still believe this to this day. I don't believe in, like, rooting I believe in rooting for people to succeed,
right,
not rooting against somebody. I've never rooted even the worst things ever. Even, like, my friends fight each other, even though I'm emotionally invested in it, I just pretty much just step out and be like, okay, go do your thing. Like, no matter every single time, every time that's happened, I've always, no matter, I mean, this just happened just recently at the RFO show. I had, it was Jeff Hughes and John Hawk fought each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those moments, it's weird, it's one of those, how on earth, only in MMA, can two of your friends stand in there, covered in blood of each other, look at each other, and Hawk looks at Hughes, or Hughes looks at Hawk, and like, Hawk's like, hey, Hughes, they're coming out for round three. He's like, we touching gloves? He's like, you better.
Uh-huh.
And just like totally being joking and jovial, and they come out there, and obviously when the decision was announced, and you know, John was emotional after he lost, and Stipe's like, man up, you know, but it's what it is, you know, you put all that time in, nobody wants to lose. But like, I got a picture taken with both those guys right afterwards, and it's actually my default picture on Facebook right now. It's my profile picture, and it's a pic. I'm like, guys, I like, you know what? I know to you guys, you're fighting to win or lose. I just love you both, and I really don't. I mean, I'm just glad that, and like, you know, they're going to buy each other beers afterwards, and it just shows what, like, they didn't hate each other going in. There was a time I spent a majority of my career, which led to some conflicts, not a majority, but a lot of times back in the old days, where I'm like, my job was to stir up drama.
Right.
I was told to say things, stir up drama, and do this stuff, and to the point where it's like, you know, a lot of things were people around me were saying that. A lot of stuff it just naturally happened because it just the way things were. It was like, you know, that was the time that we were in. What I'm grateful for now is when you see, you know, like everyone now is rallying behind Stipe. Everyone is rallying around because we even back in the day, you know, he might have been a strong style guy. He was a Griffin Roll guy. He's an Evolve guy. He's a next level guy. There's going old school for you. He's, you know, it's all these different things. He's a rec room guy. It was kind of like we always do it as like a family around here. It's kind of like, you know, we can fight each other. But if any of you other a-holes come in here to mess with us, we're all going to team up, take you out. Then we're going to go back to fighting each other.
Right.
And it was always kind of like the mentality we had on it. So it's super great to see like everyone rallying behind like, you know, Stipe and Cody and Jessica. And like, I hope that Jess gets that opportunity, you know, to come out there in Cleveland and get one more chance to dance, because I mean, just being objective on it, it would almost have to be one more shot.
Yeah.
And she'd have to know that going into it. Like, yeah. This is it. And she's smart. She's got like a whirlwind of popularity of like the people who absolutely love and adore her. And,
right.
Like, if you meet her, if you haven't reached out, you've met her several times.
Just it's briefly. Like, I mean, she's actually. She may be your only fighter friend that I actually have met, actually. And it was just briefly, if it was. But it's a thing where...
I thought you met her when we did the radio show. I mean, we did a radio show together for, like, 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a hand... But I'm more just like, you know, just very casually. But I believe I did.
Yeah.
I believe I met her. But it's a thing where, you know, two things about what you were saying there. One, as I've said to you off air, and as I said to a lot of my friends talking about you, in the time after Stipe won this, is that, again, I have had the displeasure of knowing a lot of selfish people in my life. Unfortunately, most of them are not in my life anymore, but of people who are, you know, all about themselves and whatever. And that, again, I really felt like, because, again, I texted you right after that fight. I was supposed to be there watching it with you. At the last minute, Joe Stazak from 97.5 in Philadelphia calls me on to do my, you know, Cleveland correspondent appearance. So I did it. I missed it. I wasn't able to see it there. I texted you right afterwards. I just said I was happy, but I was really happy for you. And it's a thing where you're a guy who people hear it from you, in your own words tonight. You really invest in people's hopes and dreams. You invest in the people around you. And you are an example of why you don't want to be a selfish dickhead, because those people don't know the joy. Again, you talked about it before on Facebook. Well, people probably got sick of me sharing the stuff, whatever. I don't think anybody did. I mean, if anybody did, then they're a dick. I loved seeing you sharing the stuff there. I loved seeing it because anybody that's friends with Jake Digman, that's what we expect out of you. We expect to see that kind of stuff, and we know that's how you're going to be when anything like that pops for us, whatever our individual equivalent of world heavyweight champion is. It's great to see that. It's really inspiring to see that. And it's inspiring, too, by the way, too, when you talk about guys like Stipe and some of the other ones here and, you know, Matt Brown. And, you know, you've touched on it before just briefly as far as, you know, some of the, you know, behind-the-scenes controversies, minefields that you had to walk through, whatever. You've had your ups and downs with certain people, but it's great that the fighters, it's great that nothing has come between you guys, and that's very inspiring also, too. You guys are, you know, ride and die, basically.
I've always just tried to be cool with everybody, and anybody I've had issue any of those political minefields, I guess, as you eloquently put it.
I try to be eloquent.
Yeah, I kind of view that as, you know, it's trials and tribulations of things you learn in life, and like, you know, this could I change would have changed some things probably, yeah. But at the same time, there's also certain things that I stand steadfast on, and I'm proud of, you know, where I'm at and who I am, what happened. Or what has happened, and I'm very fortunate in the fact of, like, you know, I still get to be involved in this. I mean, I had my dreams, and it's kind of weird. Like, it's one of those things that's like my dream job. It's like, I didn't get my dream job, but our friend did.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those you look at. It's like, again, brushes with greatness.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I mean, I had that. I mean, I had the opportunity to sit down and have, like, you know, a one-on-one conversation. I mean, I've been in a major motion picture. I had an opportunity, you know, to meet Joel Edgerton, to share screen time with Tom Hardy and stuff like that. So,
well,
it's like, I look at that, it's like, there's so many things. One of these days when I'm like 75, I'm going to be like Stan Lee. I'm going to be like 75, and then that's when I'm going to get my humongous break.
Well, I was going to say, before you mentioned that, you were starting to sound like you were 75, because I wanted to jump in and tell you just here, like, wait a minute, it's a little early. You're in your frickin' early to mid-30s. It's a little early to say, it hasn't happened for me in this life. Well, just shit. I mean, you know, you've got a long ways to go here.
Yeah, well, probably. I don't know. I just kind of, it's just one of those, like, I really am grateful for all that I've done, and also it's very motivating to see people that I've been around and that they're achieving and doing things,
right?
And getting to the point now where it's like, okay, you know, if something happens, great. If something happens for me, I firmly believe everything comes full circle. Like, I just got a new job. I'm starting. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention that on the air what it is.
Okay.
But, I just got a new job and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's positives to everything. And if you just believe in people and, like, you know, if you give to the universe gives back.
Right.
And, like, RFO Saturday night, not this Saturday, June 25th. Man, my head's at on June 25th. You know, that's going to be a really fun night, and it's going to be really awesome. And, like, I enjoy. It used to be I'd come out to these shows and I'd do them, and be like, you know, someone's going to see me and I'm going to get my big break and blah blah blah. Now, honestly, I go do them because I just want to see my friends.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, there's that part of it for you there too. That personal kind of level. You talk about you give to the universe and the universe gives back. You know who's somebody who's going to mention or who's going to receive this on a very direct way? For you and I were talking off air here about UFC 203 tickets and what's it going to be like and whatever. So we'll see what happens when they go on sale. One guy that I don't think is going to have to worry about that at all. Shout out to my friend Alex Slemp, who works for Fox Sports Ohio, who I am told by another friend for years, being a fan of Stipe's, has hooked them up with Cavs, Browns, Indians tickets, Prime, Loge here, whatever. I think Alex is a guy that's going to get the universe coming back his way when UFC 203 comes to town.
I hope that's the case, Alex. You put it out there. You've earned it.
Yes.
You've absolutely earned that.
He certainly has, and I think he's going to be taken care of in fine fashion. But, you know, yeah, this whole story, the way that it's happened, it's been great to see the way that I didn't expect the town after the fact to kind of react the way they did, just because I thought the buildup or lack thereof was disappointing. There should have been a drumbeat, countdown to Brazil, you know, TV, newspapers, whatever. We didn't get that. We didn't get the parade afterwards. But we got a pretty good amount, and there's a lot more, you know, visibility for Stipe in this community than there was previously. And again, on the national stage, he's out there. A guy who, again, you know, I keep calling him Jake's friend Stipe, but Jake's friend Stipe is getting a congratulations tweet from The Rock after his fight. You know, it's that duality, Jake.
My aunt met him, by the way.
Okay, nice.
She pointed that out to me. She's like, yeah, I met Dwayne. He's a nice guy. I'm like, you're on first-name basis with The Rock. That's awesome. Good for you. And, you know, again, it couldn't happen, like we said before, it couldn't happen to a better person to respond to what you just said. Cleveland's been very distracted, and Cleveland's been unfortunately trained to accept failure.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, like when something good actually happens, it's like, oh, wait, really? Awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like it's taken by surprise.
Right.
I firmly believe that his coming out party will be at the UFC 203. I think that's when it's going to be, where everyone's going to finally come on board. Cause there's going to be so much mass media. That's going to be huge.
It is.
It's a pay-per-view of the UFC is coming here.
Yep.
Like,
that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a huge thing. It's going to be monstrous. It's going to capture.
No monsters, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to. Again, I'm the bad guy. I'm the heel that was saying I was rooting for Grand Rapids to win it all since they're a Red Wings affiliate. But, you know.
Okay.
Well, hey, I go by my NHL team. I don't go by, you know. I don't even know who the Monsters are an affiliate of anymore.
I think it's Columbus.
I think, you know what I think it is? I
actually had a conversation today about this. That's the only reason why I knew.
The funny thing is, I actually hated the Monsters a couple of years ago because they were the Colorado affiliate.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that's a bad thing if you're
the
a
fact
Red
that you're
fan.
The fact that you're hating on minor league teams, it's pretty rough. Good thing the Arrows are the Indians, the Rubber Ducks are the Indians affiliate.
I am the heel fan at the queue, though. Like when Grand Rapids comes to town, I'm rocking the Wings jersey. But it's amazing. I expected to see more Wings jerseys, and everybody's geared up for the Monsters. So, hey, they're in the Calder Cup Finals. Go Monsters. I'll say that since it's happening here. But again, like you said, Stipe is the tip of the spear, and I'm just going to bring it full circle by saying this. Like I said, I wanted to be there with you watching it the night of the fight. It didn't happen because of the media appearance that I ended up making, but I will say this. It was a Babe Ruth pointing to the seats moment. I pointed to the seats, and Stipe hit the home run. On 97.5 in Philadelphia, I said the 52-year drought ends tonight. Stipe Miocic will bring home the UFC World Heavyweight Championship to Cleveland, and he went out there and did it.
You know what's amazing, too, about that?
What?
That he did that right after the Believeland documentary.
The same
30
night.
For 30.
Same
I
night.
I actually watched that after the fight. So it was so weird. It's like I my buddy Chad, he watched it. He watched that, and they watched Believeland, and they saw Stipe win. And it was just one of those, like, well, that was fun.
That's crazy. That's crazy that it went down in that kind of a way.
I've always felt that, like, the media has a bias. And having worked in media in the past, in the media, I felt like the media has a certain level of bias that they show. And for some reason right now, the media is very biased. And the sports gods, because apparently, you know, gods watch sports. Everyone likes thanks like Jesus afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's a nice running gag, by the way, where they always say, I like to thank Jesus. Jesus didn't like the other guy. All of a sudden, like, now the sports gods are all, like, they're all on the Cleveland bandwagon. Like, Stipe wins it to the title, and then next, you know, they're hyping, they show, ESPN shows this Believeland documentary, and now they're hyping up how we're Believeland and all this stuff, and they're talking trash about the Warriors. I'm just like, I won't make a prediction, because I'm smart enough to not make a prediction,
mm-hmm.
but it interests me how things, I'm very interested in how things are all lining up. And by the way, going back to this, I see you have your Cavaliers jersey on.
Yes. Yeah, I've been wearing Cav stuff every day, like, over the last week.
So I'm finally going to represent the Cavs. I'm going to whip out my Cavs jersey for the finals.
Nice.
Did I tell you who my Cavs jersey is of?
Is it LeBron?
Not even close, buddy.
Not even close?
I'll tell you the era.
Is it mid-90s? Derek Chivas.
Mid-90s.
That's a little later, then. Chris Mills?
Yep.
I just randomly guessed. It's
Good
Chris
guess.
Mills?
Chris Mills. I want to whip out my Chris Mills jersey for the finals. No one can call me a Fairweather fan.
No, me neither, although mine is of a great player, Mark Price. But I'm questioning whether I'm going to rock Price tomorrow or one of my two K-Loves. I'm leaning towards K-Love.
I almost bought a K-Love, but then I decided everyone's going to have that. I wish I had, like, more obscure jerseys. Like, if I were to have one, I'd order, like, you know, a Mike Sanders jersey or something. You know, just something really rare. Chris Mim, maybe. Give me a
I really liked Chris Mim when he was here. It's a thing because, like, and it's one of the reasons I was so thrilled when they got Kevin Love because, like, we all have our blind spots, right? Like, my blind spot is I love big men who can shoot because they're like unicorns. You can't find them. I love big men who can shoot. That makes them difference makers. And I still remember my friend I'll give a shout-out to my friend Bob Jositis. Give him credit for this.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob, you ran some great smack on me. The funny thing is he's a total Luddite, so he'll never hear this. He's the only person I know who's completely divorced from internet, cell phones, whatever. He is just a complete Luddite, but that's another story for another day.
A complete what?
Luddite.
I don't even know what that is.
That's like somebody who's grumpy about technology.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He just like refuses to be online.
I have a friend like that.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of a thing. But he ran some smack on me because I remember I was so excited when they got Chris Mim. I was like, I think he can be the poor man's Tim Duncan. And he goes, more like the poor man's Danny Shays. And I always remind him of that because he was right and I was wrong. But yeah, it's, you know, the Cavs, I'm feeling good about it. But, again, it's like you said, Stipe leading the way. And on the whole 52 years thing, for me it's like yes and no, because I grew up, you know, in no particular order, Cavs, Browns, Indians. By the way, all these grumps out there that say it doesn't count if it's not the Browns, I don't like people who are like that.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, there are people that are like that. I don't like those people.
So at 97, if Jose Mesa would have got that strikeout, we still would have been in a drought.
Apparently, it wouldn't. There are literally.
Those are the people that I can't. Those are the people out there that we talked about earlier, the haters.
Yeah.
That are just unhappy no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. That'll just, if the Cavs do it, they'll be like, it won't be real till the Browns do it. No, it's. I mean, I grew up on those three teams and whatever. And again, as we said before, UFC is the modern equivalent of boxing as far as centrality in society and whatever. So it's like, I don't know. Had it been one of the heavyweight champions in the 70s or 80s, it was from Cleveland, would we have viewed it as breaking the drought? I don't know. To me, it's like yes and no.
I see, I'm biased because it's my friend. So it's like it's a biasness there. But I see the other argument as to, like, I mean, technically he did bring a championship, but it is it's not one of the, because then the crunch didn't count either on the same level of that. You know, although they won and they didn't count.
Fellow lounge dignitary Anthony Patrone has been kind of a grump on that score. People are forgetting about the crunch and the force when they talk about Stipe. I love Stipe, but still. You know, he's giving
outspoken Anthony? No, not no. But here's,
I'm like, dude, stop being a troll.
Here's some food for thought for you, okay?
What?
Stipe, you know, won the title. Let's just say the Cavaliers do good in this next, they win this next series, okay? Let's say the Indians keep playing very well, and they get into late, they win late in October, okay? And then let's just say, out of nowhere, Hugh Jackson actually does good things, and the Browns, next thing you know, go on a tear, and all of a sudden they're playing football in February.
Yeah.
If that's the case, whatever God you worship, you better get on your knees and start praying, because the world's ending.
It is.
That's it. That's end times. It's done.
That goes
far
beyond the Stipe effect.
That's just done. It means, like, well, that's it. No, yeah. Like, I think everyone in the world would be like, what's happening? Why are you cashing in? We're done.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's over.
It's over.
Absolutely over.
We're done.
But he's leading the way, and again, and this is why you have amply demonstrated why I wanted to get your perspective on this, because again, this is a personal thing for you in a way that it wouldn't be for other people. So that's where I knew telling your story was going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I'm bottom lining it, I'm really, really genuinely happy. That's the thing, man. It's so. I don't want to say I live vicariously through, but I felt. That as not just me, that everybody that has known him throughout the years, like, we view that as like, that's our guy, you know, that's our guy, we're that's our guy right there.
There's a way to say vicariously in all the best ways.
Yeah,
and I think that's what you mean.
Yeah, it's like all of us were, like, you know, united in whatever our qualms and our quibbles were in the past.
Right,
every one of us were united. It was actually a funny story on this one. And back in the day, when I mentioned the drama from back in the day, which doesn't exist anymore, just so much more relaxing, by the way.
Yep.
I'll point that out. But all the drama back in the day existed. There were people like Strong Style was the heels of the Navs.
They were
like the Yankees. They were like the best sellers ticket wise, but people hated on them because they were good. I really never understood why, but yeah. I never really got it. I told them that. I told them, like, you guys are like the Yankees, and I'm a Yankees fan, so I totally dig you guys. I never understood. I still to this day never got that.
That seemed weird.
But it was so weird, even back in the day when people were like, you know, oh, screw those guys, except for Stipe, he's cool.
Uh-huh.
He was like the one guy, even when people were like, we're haters back in the day, like, man, all those guys, except for Stipe, he's cool. I'm like, well, what about these guys? Like, oh, I guess he's okay. He was like the one guy that everybody universally loved. It's like, you know, those are weird times in life.
You know what? We've gotten insight from you in a lot of different ways. Let's work that one in here before we're done, because this is something I just been speculating. Because again, me, casual MMA fan, whatever. What do I know? But my whole perception is Strong Style. I mean, nationally and maybe even internationally. This has to be incalculable for them, right?
Oh, it's humongous.
Okay,
it is absolutely.
So I'm not just extrapolating here.
No, I'm not just talking out my ass. No, it
okay.
is huge. I mean, there's now a big banner that says the home of the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, this is unbelievably humongous. People all over the world. I mean, they were making a name before.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Jess had main evented against Misha Tate, you know, mm-hmm. Stipe and his.
Sure.
He had main evented before. And they had done that. But this right now, they're on the map is absolutely humongous. And it's really great to see, you know. There are so many local gyms that have so much, obviously strong style. They got the heavyweight champion of the world. In the past, you know, when Jason Dent was with Griffin Rawl when he was mm-hmm. on the Ultimate Fighter, and everyone rallied around him. And, mm-hmm. We're all like, you know, hey, you know, you might be an a-hole, but you're our a-hole. It's kind of like that. And he's not an a-hole. I love you, Jason Dent, by the way. But it's one of those, like, it was kind of like the mentality of, you know, when there was internal feuds, but at the same time, it's like, everybody united together, and now it's like everyone is united around like seeing what Strong Style has done and what they've accomplished, and they've busted their butts and they've worked hard, and it couldn't happen to a better group of people. Like, I've got so many people, like some of my best memories in MMA. Like, if I were to write my book, I could probably do half of it dedicated to those guys, just in like the conversations we've had and like stuff that's gone on and just different times and whatnot. And there was a point where I was going through a low time in my life. I mentioned this earlier. I was going through a divorce. I had just lost my grandma. I had lost a job. I lost a lot of things were happening all at one time. Like, huge whirlwind. And it was, everybody finds inspiration in weird places. And my friend Mark Wallace did a documentary on Joe Hyland. Mm-hmm. And it was called Don't Blink, the Joe Hyland Story. It's available on DVD if people still use those somewhere. And he made the comment in it. There was a very great thing of Joe reading the Strong Style Creed, which is like the thing that everybody has going into it. It's kind of like your motivation. And one of the lines is where the weak but willing are welcome, but the strong but lazy are not.
Okay.
And it was just one of those lines. And I told this to Marcus and to Pablo at that time. I was like, that was what really kind of, I used that as inspiration and motivation to keep myself out of dark times of like that were going on in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I kind of used that. I mean, some people turn to the Bible, some turn to whatever works for you. It's cool. Like, mm-hmm. hey. And that just happened to work for me. So it's like that. I always felt that like very powerful connection, and just to see where it's come full circle and how they've like, you know, now they're on top of the world.
Yeah.
And now when you're on top of the world, everyone's trying to knock them off. Everyone's coming to knock you down. All the haters are coming at you. And to quote our good buddy Dwayne, who neither one of us has ever met, just bring it.
Yeah. And that's where, all right, so that kind of validated what my gut instinct was about what this was going to do for them, because I go back, again, I keep making the connection here between MMA, somewhere along the line in the last 10 years, really kind of grabbed the torch from boxing. They are where boxing used to be. In the sports world, I go back to like the 70s and the 80s. Richie Giacchetti, I think he was the trainer for Larry Holmes, but I remember it was a thing where Cleveland used to be
Bobby Giacchetti,
a place. I thought it was Richie Giacchetti. I might be,
or maybe it's just who's ever. I know there used to be a Bobby Giacchetti or whatever. It used to be the boxing coach.
There might
there.
Be brothers. Yeah, maybe I'm mangling it, but it was a thing.
You might
where
be right. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not really sure, but it's. I think I'm right, but Cleveland.
People
used
are like,
to be,
who are these guys? I don't even know what they're talking about. You just wasted an hour of my life.
Yeah. Well, we're sending people to Google to look it up. I'm sorry, Polywog. But
that's the other podcast.
Yeah, I'm getting them confused.
Do you call these podcasts?
Yeah. I mean, you know, podcasts, mini episodes, okay. they are what they are. But it's a thing where that was my sort of sense about Strong Style, is that, like, okay, maybe them, and you mentioned the other gyms here in the area too as well, maybe this whole area is going to become kind of a magnet in terms of talent from other areas. People will come here, send us your tired, your poor, your whatever, which is an interesting thing when you go back maybe about a decade or so. Again, this is why I wanted to do this with you. You were there at the beginning of the scene, and this is maybe the beginning of maybe the scene 2.0 of where, you know, it's becoming this thing of where people from other places are coming to try to make their name. Maybe that's where it kind of goes from here.
It's been like that for a while, and I think that's been kind of the advantage here, is that no one really noticed.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like,
they will now.
The UFC is very I'm going to say this. The UFC is very biased towards the West Coast, and they're very biased towards Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've always seen everything as, and I get that, you know,
sure.
the Gracies in Brazil and all that stuff.
Sure.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and all that stuff. And the West Coast, you know, because that's where Dana White and all those guys, that's where, you know, they're they're from out that
That's
way.
That's right.
I mean, I lived out in L.A. It was such an interesting little view of things. You know, you got, you know, Ronda Rousey from out there, and Chuck Liddell, the Iceman, Tito Ortiz, a Huntington Beach bad boy, Randy Couture from the Northwest, from, like, Portland and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always this very strong biasness towards the West Coast. And now, slowly but surely, I mean, you've had guys come in like Mark the Hammer Coleman, the godfather of Ground and Pound. He was Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a former UFC champion. That was in, like, the dark days when nobody watched it. I hate to tell you that, but that's the truth.
Right.
Then Rich Franklin came along and other stuff like that. And, like, now, slowly but surely, we're getting our chance. We're getting our chance in there, and we've got a great core group of guys that are taking advantage of the opportunities, and I just hope this opens up more doors for more people to have a chance. Another guy from around here is kicking butt right now in the Ultimate Fighter, Josh Stansberry.
Right.
He's like, I was great. I'm watching Cody Garbrandt fight, and all of a sudden they show the commercial for the upcoming episode of the Ultimate Fighter, and right there on the graphic is Josh Stansberry.
Amazing.
It's like, it's an amazing, it's absolutely just, it's like, I know that guy. It's like, this guy, I know this guy about the fight. That's my friend. That's my friend. It's like,
that's right.
It's so surreally fun.
Exactly.
We're not going to describe it as fun.
Yeah, and it's like I keep saying, I mean, that's the prism I watch a lot of these things, you know, through. Yeah, you know, again, like watching a thing with Cody in the main event on FS1 this past Sunday night. I'm like, there's Jake's friend. I hope he does well. So, you know, it's an interesting thing as these people are becoming public figures in their own right and making their names and whatever. It's kind of cool to watch it through that prism. And I knew it would be cool to kind of just, again, just talk through the whole thing of, again, as I say, kind of like witness to a dream. Because, again, we all sit there, we all have our cloud talk conversations with our friends. But, I mean, heavyweight champion of the world is one of the biggest, you know, I mean, if there was
huge.
It almost takes somebody saying, I'm going to grow up to be president of the United States or something. You know what I mean? That's a very rarefied air. When you're looking at that.
I heard you can just buy that now, though, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, speaking of not really buying it, but a little segue as we're wrapping this one up, and I took your role right there. Sorry, old habits die hard.
Old PKW.
Old PKW. Yeah, old PKW live. SNS. Speaking of SNS, so I understand you guys got your breaking down all the Rumbles on here.
Yes, continuing to do that.
Are you up to 2015?
We're not there yet, but as we're taping this, but we're going to be. Let's just put this out there to the whole world. When we get to 2015, a special treat, myself and Kyle Ross to be joined by this guy who was at the 2015 Rumble.
Oh, my God, you talk about the most fun train wreck I've ever been a part of in my entire life. I've never been, and I'll give a preview. When that show was over,
here's a teaser,
I texted our friend Ryan Ward. And I told him, I'm afraid for my life, because I legitimately was. People were walking outside of the arena with those $300, $500 souvenir chairs, you know, you could take home with me. They were taking those to the back to throw them at the, like, to throw them at the bus. And, like, they were rioting. They were mad. I'm like, I texted Ryan, like, I'm afraid for my life. Ryan texts me back with, good. And that's that.
We have trained ourselves over a period of time in terms of trying to preserve and protect our friend of things that are said that we won't get into on the air. I'm gonna torture everybody by telling them that I'm only going to tell you this off air. The hilarious reaction that he gave me when I read him criticism from a prominent person after one of these wrestling shows.
Oh, this should be fun. And on that note...
His reaction to what this person had to say about this show that they did, I can't even say it on the air, but you're going to hear it exclusively next. But anyways, now that I've tortured everybody, we look forward to that Rumble 2015. That
I mean, they survived this long with us.
Yeah, they did. They did. This was a slog, but it was a fun one. But again, thanks for giving your insights and your perspective, Jake. I knew it was going to be a winner here, and to get to hear what it's like to watch the dreams of your friend who made the ultimate goal and others who are chasing these other big ones
Never give up on your dreams.
Yep.
They can happen. And my dream is that you come out to our show on June 25th at the Summit County Fairgrounds. That's my most current dream. So come out there and see some live MMA action. You never know who's going to show up. I can't say certain people will be there. They might be there. They might not be there. Stipe's been there in the past. Jess has been there in the past. Matt Brown's been there in the past. Mark Coleman's been there in the past. You really never know who's going to show up at an RFO event. So
my dream is that I'm able to both do that and that I have another thing that might be going down that I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully that'll be 4th of July weekend. Hopefully I can do both of those.
Seed of a dream.
I want to be there. We'll see. Keep dreaming, everybody. That's our message. So along with Jake Digman, this is Rick Morris telling you to keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.